Srila Kavi Karnapur, in his book Ananda Brindavan Champu, in the beginning of that book, he gives a description of Vrindavan. He describes the different seasons in Vrindavan, that there are six seasons here in India, we know, but in Vrindavan, there are 10 seasons. There are six seasons, the summer, autumn, winter, the dewy winter, the monsoon, and the spring. And alongside those six seasons, there is two seasons together, the summer and autumn. And the spring and summer, the autumn and the monsoon come together in some places in Vrindavan. And in some places in Vrindavan, the two forms of winter, the cold winter and the very cold winter, also they exist together. And in some places in Vrindavan, all six seasons exist simultaneously at the same time.
Why?
For Krishna's pleasure. So he also describes in this book, he gives a brief description of Nandagram, so that we who are still residing here within the world of matter, we walk outside this beautiful temple where everything around us reminds us of Krishna, and you take a two-minute walk in any direction and you'll be back in the materialistic atmosphere where everything that you see reminds you of this world and tells you in one form or another that you should be investing your time, your energy, your thoughts, and your money in this world for your happiness. So to counteract this insurmountable, materialistic problem that we face, we have to hear about Vrindavan. Because by hearing about Vrindavan, then we can meditate on what we hear. And as we meditate, then a desire arises in our heart that develops more and more, that actually this world is not very nice. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, it is no place for a gentleman. So this is a fact. But Vrindavan, Sri Vrindavan, is the most transcendentally exquisite place where every single atomic particle of Vrindavan is an arrangement made for Krishna's pleasure. So please hear a little of what Kavi Karnapur tells us about this Giriraj Govardhan, because we may have visited Vrindavan or we have seen here on the slideshow some pictures of the Aprakrit, what we can see, the Drishyaman Dham, Vrindavan as we can see with these fleshy eyes. But it's important to note that there is much more to be seen, but this has to be seen through the eyes of the heart. And the eyes of the heart are very much connected with the ears. So Kavi Karnapur tells us that Giriraj Govardhan is an exquisite line of mountains that stretches down the middle of Vrindavan. Now we see only one localized part of Giriraj's visible today. But Giriraj had thousands of peaks, not one peak, thousands of peaks, and surrounding those peaks were many small hills. And on many of those hills were beautifully jeweled plateaus. Just like here we have a floor that's made of wood. And some people like to have floor made of marble so they can walk on the cool marble. And perhaps there are some people in this world who have floors and they embed them with some kind of jewels, some semi-precious jewels, maybe a few very precious jewels. I have never heard of that, but maybe it's possible. But in Govardhan, there are whole plateaus that are simply made of rubies or sapphires or diamonds or emeralds, silver and gold. This is Giriraj's offering for Krishna's pleasure. So there are many caves, many snakes. Does anyone know why a snake would be favorable for Krishna's pastimes? Sometimes when Srimati Radharani becomes angry with Krishna, she is walking away and he is trying to get her to return. And all of a sudden, one of these snakes on Govardhan comes wriggling out across her path. And what does she do? She becomes so frightened, she immediately turns and runs back to Krishna for protection. So this is the way that the snakes on Govardhan also render very exquisite and valuable service. There are many banyan trees, waterfalls, and lines of fruit trees that decorate Govardhan Hill. And there are streams of water that come from great heights. They pour down crystal clear water. It passes over so many jewels. Just like now you see, if the sand on the riverbed is white, the water that passes over along the river, it also appears white. And if there's some green algae on the bottom of the riverbed, then the water becomes greenish. So because the riverbed is made of jewels, as Giriraj, the water pours down in the waterfalls, it looks like liquid rainbows as it pours down the side of Giriraj for Krishna's pleasure. Now one day, Nanda Baba and all the senior men of Vrindavan were preparing very, very busily for a very important event. They were calling the brahmanas. They were speaking to the ladies what they should cook, how they should prepare. They were calling the servants to bring the different paraphernalia for worship. And so many things were taking place. And Krishna came walking into this assembly of all the senior mothers and fathers of Vrindavan. And he looked at everything that was taking place. And although he is all-knowing and knows everything that is happening, just like a small young boy, like one of the boys here, he asked his father, "My dear father, what is taking place? Everyone is rushing here and there in such anxiety to achieve something. What are you doing? Please tell me, is this some kind of a sacrifice? And is this a Vedic sacrifice, a sacrifice recommended? And if so, what is the performance? What is the system of worship? And who is being worshipped now?" Now Nanda Maharaj, because Krishna had asked in such an intelligent way, he sat Krishna down beside him. But then he picked him up very lovingly and he put him on his lap. And he began to explain everything very simply to his little boy. And he said to him, "Actually, my son, this is a tradition that we have carried out for many, many, many years. Everyone knows that one has to worship the demigods in order to achieve happiness in this life. So we are farmers. We depend on the land, on the grass, and on the water. So every year we perform this sacrifice for the pleasure of Indradev. This is why we are preparing all of these different arrangements, and this is what we're about to perform." Now you can imagine, Ananda Maharaj said, if you perform all of these Vedic demigod sacrifices, then you'll become very fortunate and you'll go to heaven. So hearing these words from his father, bitter words, Krishna ignored them. And he said to his father, he said, "My dear father," now he spoke in such a way, interestingly enough, he spoke what is known as a philosophy Kama Mimamsa, which states the philosophy that everyone gets according to what their activities are. And there is no need to worship God. Everything is taken care of by our work. So just imagine, Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita to remove the illusion of Arjuna. And his speech is so transcendentally eloquent that at the end of Bhagavad Gita, all of Arjuna's doubts and his misgivings have been cleared away, and he's fully prepared to act according to Krishna's desire. And now, with the same transcendental expertise, Krishna is going to speak what can be considered to be atheism. And all the residents of Vrindavan are going to listen and be enthralled as Krishna changes their minds. Krishna explains, he says, that actually, this is not correct. This philosophy is not true of worshipping demigods. Because everybody gets according to their karma. Not the demigods. The demigods can't give you any more than your karma allows you. Greedy people think that I can pray to demigods and I can achieve more than I deserve. But actually, this is not correct. Everyone does their work according to their nature. And their nature is according to their desire. And according to their nature, they have desires. So according to their desire, they get their nature. According to their nature, they work. And according to their work, they get the result. So there's no need to worship Indra in this. Just consider, for example, everyone here knows this, that when the monsoon season comes, it is not always very enjoyable. Sometimes it is very inconvenient and people become sick or even die in the monsoon season, or they become very weak and not very happy at this time. So is this the mercy of satisfying a demigod? And think, you can see also here in Bombay, you can see the ocean. So the ocean, does the ocean perform any sacrifice? Does the ocean worship demigods? Then how come the rain pours profusely on the ocean? What to speak of on the mountains? They don't perform any sacrifices, and yet rain falls there also. So the reality is that rainfall is the result of the mode of passion. That's all that's taking place. So therefore, we should forget this worship of Indra, leave it aside, and instead, we should consider our occupational duty. Now, there are four different varnas, four different ashrams. There's the brahmana, and he has a duty. The kshatriya, he has his duty. The vaishya has trade and farming. And the sudra should serve the other higher castes. And we are vaishyas. So therefore, we should stop this worship of Indra, and immediately we should begin a sacrifice for the worship of Govardhan Hill. Then Krishna started to glorify Govardhan. That Govardhan is so merciful. Go means the cows, the senses, the cowherd men who depend on the cows. And Vardhan means that it increases. So Govardhan increases all of the satisfaction and all the requirements of the cows and we ourselves as farming people. So we should immediately take all of this paraphernalia that you have collected and we should instead worship Govardhan. Now Krishna explained to Nanda Baba how this worship should take place. He said, first of all, you should make an anakut, a very big hill out of rock candy. It should be very, very, very tall. And on that hill you should take colored cakes and place them as boulders all over that hill. And then you should take big pots of milk and buttermilk and ghee and place them all around this hill like lakes. And dal, sabjis, and rice and other preparations should also be included. Then when you have made this beautiful hill, then you should worship Govardhan with padya. And then you should feed everyone. You should begin by feeding the brahmanas. And if you feed them, the brahmanas will give you a garland of big smiles. And when the brahmanas are happy and smiling very merrily, then you should know that your festival is becoming very successful. Then, after feeding the brahmanas, feed everyone, right to the dogs. Feed every single person in Vraj. Please, he said, conclude this worship, after you have done this, by a circumambulation of Giriraj. Then he said to his father, he said, you who have the audacity to challenge even Indra, who lives for millenniums, should happily circumambulate Govardhan Hill along with your cows, bulls, and calves. Then Giriraj will fulfill all your desires. If you want to, you can follow my advice and achieve this auspicious result. So what do you think the cowherd men did? Do you think they continued with their Indra puja? No. They took everything and very, very happily they performed this worship exactly as Krishna had suggested. And all the ladies dressed in the most beautiful clothes. And they were singing very sweetly, just like cuckoo birds. And they went here and there, and the Brahmins very happily performed all the articles for the puja and the worship. And the men arranged everything very, very auspiciously. And this Govardhan Puja festival began. Meanwhile, of course, you can imagine that this was going to make Indra very angry. So, no other sound could be heard than the auspicious sound of music and Vedic hymns. And everybody was very happy. The ladies ran here and there decorating the cows, who had beautiful gold-plated horns. And they had wonderfully colored silk cloth decorating. And their hooves were also plated with gold. And when the calves saw their mother cows dressed so nicely, they began jumping up and down in happiness, frolicking around in great delight to see the cows dressed so beautifully. Then Nanda Maharaj bought all the articles from the house and he offered padya. And then he began to wash Giriraj's feet. He made a huge hill, just as Krishna had described. And all around this beautiful hill that he had designed, they placed flowers and fruit as decorations. And then this hill was covered, poured so much ghee over the hill that the hill looked like it was a golden mount, like Mount Meru. And the aroma of clover and camphor and cardamom could be smelt as a fragrance in the air. Then seeing the hill so beautifully made and so wonderfully decorated, Krishna smiled very happily. And he assumed a huge form. And he stood atop Giriraj in this huge form. And when everybody saw, everybody bowed down. Even Krishna himself bowed down to this huge form that he had assumed above Giriraj. And he did this to make Indra very angry. So then Krishna told everyone, he said, look, by exclusively worshipping Govardhan with love, you have received his favor. Govardhan has now manifest himself as a person. And look very closely. You see his mouth? It resembles a big, deep cave. Previously his mouth was like a cave, but now it is very beautiful. And now his face is beautiful despite his massive mouth. And his two beautiful arms, his arms are usually just trees on Giriraj, but now he has two beautiful arms. And now he has a soft body. Before the rocks were all over his body, but now he is exquisite and looks so beautiful. And look how he is moving and walking over the non-moving Giriraj. And he sits on a seat made of costly emeralds. And he has a ruby-like crown on his head. So in cooperation, this moving form of Giriraj and the non-moving form of Giriraj were together looking very, very exquisitely beautiful. So Krishna said, Giriraj is reciprocating with your devotion insofar as he is giving you the understanding that he is not a hill, but he is actually a person. So this is inconceivable to ordinary people, how a hill can be a person. But actually this is true. Giriraj is a supreme Haridasa Varja, the supreme servant of Krishna. He's Krishna himself, but he's also his own servant. And as his own servant, if we pray to him, he can also give us an opportunity to serve Krishna nicely as well. So hearing all of this, they became very, very happy. And as soon as they had served everyone prasad, and everybody was well fed, then they began their Govardhan Parikrama. Now in the middle, in the front, in the beginning of the Parikrama, they had many musicians who were all playing different kinds of drums. And then came the cowherd boys with the calves. And then Nanda Maharaj wearing a beautiful garland. And all the senior men followed the boys and the calves. And behind Nanda Maharaj came more musicians. And these musicians were playing veenas and flutes, and they were playing very sweetly. And then came many dancing girls, and behind the dancing girls came many bullock carts with all the ladies of Braj. And all the ladies were singing the glories of Krishna as they came behind the rest of the procession on their bullock carts. And in this way they proceeded from one place to another, where they worshipped the brahmanas, and they offered food, they offered flowers, they offered blessings to the brahmins and received the blessings of the brahmanas, and they proceeded all the way around Giriraj in this particular manner. But when they came to the Jamuna River, which was flowing very near to Govardhan, at that spot they performed the special, what is the name? The Bratriya. This celebration for the brothers and sisters? The Bratri Dvitiya Tithi was the name given in the official name. So on this particular day, as you all know, the sisters worship the brother for the well-being of their brother. So Krishna, he has no sister. Nanda Baba had no daughter, but Sunanda is the daughter, cousin sister of Krishna, the very chaste and very beautiful daughter of Upananda, Krishna's uncle, elder uncle. And so Sunanda Gopi, she came and she performed all of the functions of this particular vrat and pleased Krishna and offered him exquisite gifts of cloth and so on and so forth, and jewels and gold ornaments. And then a feast was performed. And Madhu Mangal, who's always joking and funny, he said that we just performed a wonderful Govardhan Puja and we had a little feast, just a little feast. And my stomach was still quite empty. But now we're having a real feast. And this is so nice. He said, I think that every titi we should make this festival. We should have actually a festival like this every day. And then a very hungry brahmana like myself might be somewhat satisfied. So he joked in this way, and in this way the Govardhan festival took place. Meanwhile, one person was very upset. King Indra developed a headache. He was so disturbed when he heard what had taken place. And I think we're going to hear more about that.
Panchakalpatubhyascha Kripasindubhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. When someone is in an angry mood and you want something from that person, a favor, ask him if he would please give you something as a gift. When someone is angry, is that a good time to ask a person? No, because he doesn't want to give anything at all. But when someone, if their heart is filled with ecstasy and great, great happiness, and you ask them for something, yes, whatever you want, take it, take it, take it. Now, today is the day to ask Giridhar Govardhan for something. Whatever you want. If you want horses, cows, and villages, you ask Giridhar. But if you want something still more special, or even the topmost thing, Prema Pamarto Mahan, today is a very good day to fall down on the ground and say, "Oh Giridhar, you are so kind and merciful. Please, even though I'm not qualified at all, but please, just simply out of your kindness and of your flowing heart, please give me just Eka Bindu Diya, just a little bit of bhakti." Now, why is Giridhar so happy today and blissful? And the answer is, the answer comes from the mouth of Srimati Radharani herself. In the Bhagavatam, in the Venu Gita, the 21st chapter of the 10th canto, one gopi says, Hantayan Adri Abala Haridasavajo Yat Rama Krishna Charanas Parisha Pramoda Yat Rama Krishna Sparas touching. O Giridhar, Hantayan Adri, O Adri, O mountain Giridhar, you are the best servant of Hari. Haridasa Varajo Yat Rama Krishna Charanas Parisha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayo Yat Paniya Suyavasa Kandara Kandara Mulai. You are supplying everything to nourish all the different devotees who want to serve Krishna and all the different rasas. In the Sakya Ras, in the Vatsalya Ras, in the Madhurya Shringara Ras, you are providing facilities for everyone, to have a full relationship with Krishna. And Giriraj himself loves to serve all the devotees. Whatever their relationship with Krishna might be, he loves to serve them. And one service that he likes the most is when Krishna and the gopis are standing upon him with their lotus feet and he's playing his flute and the peacocks are dancing and they're dropping their feathers to the ground and Krishna is dancing surrounded by the peacocks and all the animals and the birds. They go to a higher part of the hill, and they're just watching this incredible dancing exhibition by Krishna and the peacocks. This is very wonderful, and Giriraj is so happy at that time. So he's overflowing, this great devotee is overflowing with his mercy. And he'll give anything. So on this day, Sri Gopinath with Srimati Radharani is dancing upon Giriraj Govardhan. So it's a very good day to make your requests, submit your petitions in a very, very humble mood to Giriraj. So in the 21st chapter of the 10th canto, Srila Sukadeva Goswami says, one gopi said, Hantayan Adriya Baladas Haridasa Varjo. But Sri Raghunath Das Goswami has explained that that one gopi who was speaking this verse was none other than Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani ki jai! Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki! Bolo Giriraj Dharan ki! Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai! Jai Jai Shri Radhe! Jai Jai Shri Radhe! Jai Jai Shri Radhe! So everyone, by glorifying Krishna Gopinath and the devotees and seeing this wonderful festival of Govardhan Puja, everyone was so happy except for
Indra.
Oh, he was unhappy because his sacrifice had been stopped. And Giriraj Govardhan was being glorified. And this was because one little boy, yes, that boy is very beautiful. He's so beautiful. But he likes to talk all the time. He's talkative. And all the cowherd men, even though they were usually very responsible, they have listened to this boy, Indra said, and they have stopped the sacrifice to me. Now it is my time to teach them something. I will teach them who I am. Yes, this is, we can laugh at how foolish Indra is, but the same mood. Why is Krishna being worshipped? Okay, he's very beautiful. I am so wonderful. Everyone should this and this and this about me. This is called matsarja, envy. And therefore, before we actually can deeply enter into the mystery, the real rahasya of this 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, nirmatsaranam satam, all the envy has to be cleaned from the heart. Envy means false ego. Envy means, why is Krishna the center? Why am I not the center? This is what Indra was thinking. He was so exalted, so wonderful and powerful, but still there was false ego in the service that he was doing. And therefore, he could not actually enter into the mood of Vrindavan at all. Because in Vrindavan, there is only one center, and that is Krishna. And the residents of Vrindavan, they will do anything, everything and anything, just to please Krishna. And they won't do anything, anything at all, that will not bring Krishna pleasure. So I am exiled from Vrindavan, like Indra, but not, Indra is so exalted. But until this mood comes, actual love, until actual love for Krishna comes, one cannot go. And what kind of love? Love in a very special mood, the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Until that comes, no one can enter into Vrindavan. But yet, by hearing about the glories of Vrindavan, by being purified, by hearing the first canto, the second canto, the third canto, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, then gradually, because in the very first canto, Suta Goswami has said, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam Ridhyantasto, situated within the heart, Yabhadrani, all the Abhadrani. What does Abhadrani mean? Yes, all the inauspicious, unwanted, envious, anartas, all these will be removed by Krishna himself. If we become eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna himself will do the work. So Indra was not ready to hear about the Bhagavata, about Krishna at this time. Rather, quite amazingly, he decided the punishment that he was going to give. Just remember, what did the residents of Vrindavan do? They stopped one sacrifice to Indra, and he decided to kill them all. This is the nature of anger and envy. You don't care. In Satwagun, the consciousness, Satvam Sanjayate Gyanam, the consciousness expands. But when one becomes envious and angry, the consciousness becomes small and compressed. And when one is angry, practically speaking, he is a madman and can do anything. Attempting even to kill Krishna and his dearest devotees, the residents of Vrindavan. So Indra called forth clouds of destruction, because in the Vedic system, it describes when the time for destruction of the universe comes, there the sun burns brighter, and then there is great, great raining. Great raining that fills up the entirety of the universe, practically. And these same clouds that are meant to fill up the entirety of the universe, Indra called those clouds to destroy Vrindavan. So he was extremely angry and extremely envious why Krishna is being worshipped instead of me. So he called forth the clouds, he sent them forward, and it began to pour rain as thick as pillars down in Vrindavan. And all the residents of Vrindavan, they became very, very distressed. Naturally, when one is caught in a simple monsoon rain, it's so distressing. But at least it is warm or hot when it rains. But Indra also called forth all the different winds, cold winds. So it was cold, raining, and hail, little balls of ice started falling down on Vrindavan. The cows were distressed. And they took their small calves under their bodies, under the folds of their skin, just to protect them. And the bulls that are so powerful, Brahmachari bulls, very powerful. But when they were hit by the hailstones, their eyes flashed at the clouds in great anger. But they could do nothing. and the hail was bouncing off their bodies. The residents of Vrindavan were so disturbed. And do you know what they did when they were disturbed and when they were in distress? What did they do? Krishna. They didn't know anything else. They had no other shelter other than Krishna. This is called Sharanagata. Sharanagati. Of course, the residents of Vrindavan were millions and millions of times more than Sharanagata devotees. Because not only had they taken shelter of Krishna, they loved him in their own special way. But just as 1 billion rupees also contains 10,000 rupees, that great amount contains the lesser amount, the residents of Vrindavan were always and only fully surrendered to Krishna, and they knew Krishna and no one else as their protector. So there was one nice verse. Do you know it? Someone said it over here, I thought. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. Oh, Krishna. They called out to Krishna. And this actually is one of the main keys that open the door of spiritual life. And if one actually has this key, then he can live in this world very peacefully. And if one doesn't have this key, then then we all know, at least I know what happens. The mind is always disturbed by this and that and this and that and this and that. There's always one thing or another that causes disturbance in this world. But Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga, Tvam Nata Gokulam Prabhu, Krishna, Krishna, oh, all fortunate one, because Krishna is Bhagyavan and he is Bhagavan, because he possesses all fortune. Everything that makes someone fortunate, Krishna has to an unlimited degree. And only if we can accept that we are nothing but his insignificant servant, then we too will have a place underneath this greatest fortune. So, Tvam Natam Gokulam Prabhu, you are our Lord. You are the Lord of Gokul. Oh, Prabhu, you are our master. Tratam Arhasi Devam Na Kupitad Bhakta Vatsala. You are Bhakta Vatsal. You are the protector of your devotees. You care for your devotees. You will never let any harm come to your devotees. Oh, Krishna, now Indra has become so angry at us. And he's causing this rain, not just rain, but devastating rain, to fall down upon us. And just see, the residents of Vrindavan said. Do you think they said, just see my distress? No, they didn't speak like that. They pointed to the cows, and they pointed to the bulls, and they said, just see how distressed are the cows and the bulls, because Krishna loves the cows and loves the bulls. The bull is the very emblem of religion and religiosity. And the cows, namo brahmanya devaya, go brahmanya taya cha. Krishna loves the cows. He loves the Brahmins. But it is said that he loves the cows even more. Because the cow is so sweet and innocent. It takes grass. Just eats grass, and we don't eat grass. But it turns it into the milk, which is a perfect food, nourishing for the body, the mind, everything, consciousness, and produces so much more milk than she can feed to her calf just for us. So Krishna loves the giving mood, the generous spirit of the cow, and the sweet, peaceful disposition of the cow. So they pointed, the residents of Vrindavan pointed to the cow. Look at how much distress your cows are in. Oh, Krishna. Oh, Lord. Oh, greatly fortunate Prabhu. Please, please protect your beloved cows and also all the residents of Vrindavan who are in the greatest distress. Now, what do you think Krishna did? Do you think he said, I'm sorry, I have another appointment. I'm very busy, come back later. No. When the devotees called out to Krishna to please protect them, and this happened so many times in Vrindavan, so many times, because the Brijbasis knew no other shelter other than Krishna. They simply called out to Krishna. And it is described by Sri Kavi Kanapur that Krishna at once took, of course he knew what was going on already, but by his internal energy, the power of his antaranga shakti, he was dissipating, removing all the rain over Vrindavan. And when he noticed, when he heard the Brijbasis calling for him and begging him to help in their distress, he was in his own house. And even though the rain was falling, Krishna decided immediately to go to Govanan Hill. And he walked there from his house, which is in Nandagram, which is some distance to Govanan Hill. But even though the rain was falling in such a devastating way, Krishna's internal energy removed all the rain so that Krishna's turban, his pagri, did not even get a little bit wet as he walked to Govanan Hill. And then Krishna, using which hand? Which is the stronger of your hands, the left hand or the right hand? Yes. But with the little finger, the smallest finger, what can I lift with the smallest finger of my left hand? Maybe a book or something like that? Maybe a glass? I could not even lift the cushion or this, what to speak of one of the nice devotees. What? There's no strength. So only something that is relatively small and light, I would use my left hand to lift. It is not all of my strength. With two hands, I'm very strong. I can lift this. But for Krishna to lift Govanan Hill, it did not take much of his strength at all. He did it just with the little finger of his left hand because he was protecting his devotees. Not that he doesn't care about protecting his devotees, but he wanted to show, don't worry, I can protect all of you, each and every one of you, and it won't take very much of my strength at all. Just a little bit of my strength. There's unlimited ways Krishna can protect his devotees. Krishna is very clever, and he does everything in such wonderful and artistic ways, unique ways. So to protect his devotees, the residents of Vrindavan, he decided to do something that had never been done before. And with the little finger of his left hand, what did he do? He lifted a mountain. He lifted it. Now, the Bhagavatam describes in very brief form what he said, what the residents of Vrindavan did when they were under the hill. How long were they under the hill? 7 days. On the eighth day, the hill was put down and there was a coronation ceremony for Krishna. By whom? Indra. Where? Govindakund. Yes. And if you do Govardhan Parikrama 8 days from today and you stop at Govindakund just around noontime, there's a big feast that they serve at that time. And they will say, come in, come in. Maybe if there are 4,000 devotees from Chaupati Temple, it may be difficult for everyone to get fed. But this is what, there's a huge festival at Govindakund on that day. But we are getting ahead of the pastime by talking about that. So Krishna lifted up the hill. And as the hill was lifted, some mountains formed. Some of the rocks fell and made a boundary around the place where the Brijbasis were going to stay for 7 days. Now, as I was mentioning, the Bhagavatam only describes in very, very, very brief, in one or two verses, what was going on under the hill, but they were there for 7 days. Oh, this hand. For 7 days they were there. And so many wonderful things happened during those 7 days. But the most wonderful thing that happened was that everyone had the opportunity to simply stare at the beautiful form of Krishna. And that is what everyone did. This was a special time for the Braja Gopis especially, because Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj and all the elderly cowherd men and cowherd ladies of Braja, they could always look at Krishna anytime they wanted. And Krishna's friends, what is the name of one of Krishna's friends? Yes, one Mataji. Sridhama, another one. Another one. Another one. So many friends, unlimited friends. And they all could stare at Krishna anytime they wanted. And that is what they did. But the gopis, they could never look directly at Krishna. Even in the presence of Balaram, they couldn't look at Krishna and Krishna couldn't look at them. Quite inappropriate in the village relationships. But at this time, and at another time, when Kaliya had wrapped up Krishna in his coils, and then when Krishna was dancing upon the heads of Kaliya, at that time and at this time, all the residents of Vrindavan simply stared at Krishna, and the gopis were allowed to do it at that time with no shyness at all. So even though Indra did such a horrible thing, terrible thing, tried to kill all the residents of Vrindavan and Krishna, but because he caused all the people of Vrindavan to come underneath that hill and gave them all the facility to stare at Krishna, and all the devotees were so happy about that, Krishna ultimately was not angry at Indra. Indeed, when Brahma had committed his offense of stealing away the boys and the calves and hiding them, quite amazingly, even though Krishna had expanded himself into so many cows and boys to take the place of the ones that were stolen by Brahma, still Krishna in his heart was missing Sridham and Subal. He was dealing with his own expansions. But still he was missing his friends. This is Krishna. But when Brahma felt so terrible about having caused Krishna this problem, he offered so many beautiful prayers to Krishna. What chapter of the 10th canto? 14. He offered so many very wonderful prayers. And after he had offered so many wonderful prayers, Krishna did not answer him, not even one word. Because he had caused Krishna to be separate from his friends. And after, when Indra offers his prayers, even though what he tried to do was thousands and millions of times worse than what Brahma did, he tried to kill the residents of Vrindavan. Brahma playfully took them away and hid them and let them bisram koro, take rest for some time. For 1 year, but there was no hurting of them or anything. There was no enmity or anger. But because he had separated Krishna from his friends, he would not speak to him. And Indra, even though his motive was horrible, but yet he had brought Krishna and all the Brijbasis under Govardhan Hill, and all the Brijbasis could stare at Krishna. Then Krishna, when Indra apologized, he spoke to him. And of course he said, "Don't do this again." But he spoke to him. And the worst kind of chastisement is neglect. And that is the worst kind. And he neglected Indra, Brahma, but he spoke to Indradev. But what happened for those 7 days under the hill? And what was it like under the hill? So, Sukadeva Goswami gives some hints, some sutras. But Sri Kavi Karnapur, he explains in wonderful detail what it was like under the hill and some of the sweet pastimes that took place. I would like to read a little bit of that. First, what it looked like under the hill. First of all, it was a splendid, wonderful valley. When Krishna lifted the hill, it was not austere under the hill. It was a splendid valley beneath Giriraj Govardhan. And taking shelter, Krishna told all the residents of Vrindavan who were harmed and in distress, "Please come under this hill, take shelter under the hill." So they entered this splendid valley, and they were filled with surprise at how wonderful it was under the hill. And in their hearts, they felt delighted. It was well lit under there, and they could easily accommodate all their cows, their animals, their possessions, and their family members. And it was filled with wonderful things to look at. Because if you're in a place, even though it may be safe and peaceful, but if it is just a concrete block, the mind will get very disturbed. But this, under the hill, it was divine. It was a wonderful ornament. There were wonderful things to see, to taste, and to hear, and to smell underneath the hill. When Krishna takes care of his devotees, he knows how to do it in the most wonderful way. It was pure, and it was more wealthy than Sutal. There were fields of rich green barley, because greenery, do you know this? That they in the West, that if someone has depression and is very all the time, they say you should look at green fields, because the color green uplifts the consciousness. So Krishna having invented every principle of psychology, he placed underneath the hill fields and fields of green barley, a beautiful color. So beautiful and so nice. Because Vrindavan and here underneath Giriraj, it is like a stage. And on this wonderful stage, Krishna enacts his pastimes that bring the highest ecstasy to himself and the residents of Vrindavan. There were many lakes full of crystal clear water. Lakes, barley fields. Krishna just lifted up a mountain, and what's there? Lakes, barley fields, fragrance, everything is there. That's impossible. But that doing something impossible is not difficult for Krishna. He can do anything. He has achintya shakti, icha shakti. Everything he wants, just by desiring it, it appears. Not even that. Krishna doesn't even have to desire it. His lila shakti makes all the arrangements in advance. Otherwise, Krishna could never be surprised. And then he would be lacking. He would be lacking in something. We all can be surprised. We walk in, the curtains open and look. We're all surprised at this wonderful, wonderful hill with the most wonderful decorations on top and everywhere. We can be surprised, but how could someone who is savagya be surprised? So that's a problem. But it's not a problem for Krishna. It's our problem for our limited intelligence. Krishna has his lila shakti doing everything. Everything. The lila shakti makes the most wonderful arrangements. And this is what's going on in Vrindavan. Krishna's the Sandini shakti and the different potencies, Vrindadevi, Purnamasi, they make such wonderful arrangements and they set the scene for the pastimes. Why? So that rasa can be generated between Krishna and his beloved devotees. This is Krishna's desire, to raise the devotees to the highest, highest, highest platforms of ecstasy. And what is the desire of the devotees? Is it that, yes, we should allow Krishna to raise us to the highest platforms of ecstasy? No, they don't have any care for themselves at all. Their only desire is to please Krishna. This is Vrindavan. You want to go to Vrindavan? It's very simple. All you have to do is be that pure and that loving. It is very simple to understand. But the understanding fixes the goal and the consciousness. Yes, I want to actually become a devotee. So there was crystal water. And the cows stayed near the... Krishna did not forget the cows. Don't worry, he won't forget any of us. He'll take care of everyone, give them just what they need. The cows stayed near the border of the improvised town and they pastured on fields full of new fresh grass. Come up and sit right here. Come on. The Brijvasis stood around peacefully in different groups. Some cowherd men mixed with the Brahmins and the elderly married ladies stayed with their daughters. Remember that, elderly married ladies. Radhika and other prominent young married gopis gathered beside them. Krishna's intimate friends, like Batu. What is the other name for Batu? Marumanga. He remained by Krishna's side, and Krishna was lifting the hill. Nanda, Yashoda, and Balaram stood slightly in front of Krishna, all the Vaishnavas, they relish, the Brijbasis, they relish great joy associating intimately with Krishna. Everyone was close to Krishna. And they no longer felt the slightest discomfort or inconvenience from Indra's pouring down all the rain that threatened to destroy the entire world. They were completely safe under the shelter of Giriraj Govardhan. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki! Bolo Giriraj Dharan ki! Bolo Giriraj Dharan ki! Remember, we want His Holiness Raghunath Swami to hear us all the way in Los Angeles, in Carpinteria. Remember that. Ready? Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki! Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Now, another question. Krishna is standing there, and there are, practically speaking, unlimited Brijbasis. Are some of them looking at Krishna's back? Actually, even though Krishna's back is so beautiful, none of them were looking at Krishna's back. Because Krishna was, again, it's easy for him to do impossible things continuously. Every one of them, they were surrounding him on all sides, and they were all looking directly at Krishna's sweet, beautiful lotus face. We shouldn't worry. We shouldn't worry. Krishna will take care of each and every one of us somehow or another. And their hearts were completely content looking at the glorious, gorgeous lotus face of Giridhari, the lifter. At that time, he was even lifting Govardhan Hill. And each devotee saw that Krishna was looking directly at him. Each of them saw that Krishna was looking directly at them. Now, Maru Mangal, he began to speak. Oh, dearmost friend, of the entire world, please listen to my words. By my Brahman Tejas, I will fill you with happiness. When I am here as your friend, why are you troubling yourself lifting Giriraj? Oh, lotus-eyed one, just order me, and I will hold up this whole mountain on the tip of my golden stick. And where is the picture? That one over there. We see all the Brijbasis, they want to help Krishna because they forget. They know sometimes. And after this, we'll hear in the Bhagavatam and Krishna book how Krishna, when he went to retrieve Nanda Maharaj from Varunadev underneath the water, Nanda Maharaj, after that, he heard Varunadev glorify Krishna. And he understood this demigod. Previously, we understood that Krishna was not different from, or empowered by Narayan, or not different from him. But now, by Varunadev's words, we can understand that he's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But just see the love of the Brijbasis. That knowledge, it doesn't diminish their love at all. Narada Muni was amazed at this. He compared the love of the Brijbasis to the love of Devaki and Vasudev. He saw that when Devaki and Vasudev understood that Krishna was the all-powerful, all-opulent, Supreme Lord, they can no longer embrace him and give him hugs, and they couldn't do that anymore. But Nanda, Yasoda, and the residents of Vrindavan, even though they know at times Krishna's supreme position, their love in their Shuddha Vatsalya Ras, in their Shuddha Madhurya Ras, in their Sakya Bhav, it doesn't decrease in the slightest bit. It is not that they don't have the knowledge, but their Madhurya, the sweetness of their love, is so powerful. Their knowledge of Krishna's position becomes insignificant, like a fire in the sun. This is Vrindavan. That's how powerful the sweetness of their love is. And unique, it's unique. Oh, lotus-eyed friend, Batu says, Maru Mangal says, just order me and I will hold up the great mount on the tip of my golden stick. You must be exhausted and tired from holding the hill. So now you can relax and take some rest while I hold the hill. Brajeshwari Yashoda then said to her son, oh, my darling child, everyone was so happy. Mother Yasoda is in complete anxiety. You always act impudently due to the force of your own, your uncontrolled senses. You're always restless and running here and here. For years we observed the Indra Yajna, and always we had good fortune. And now because of your words, the Indra Yajna had stopped. And look at the position that we're in. We should never disregard the demigods. It never brings auspiciousness. How could one find good fortune if one disregards the demigods? How could we enjoy living under the hill, seeing you in this position, struggling in this way? Krishna, why did you do this? Actually, there are three reasons why Krishna did this. There were three reasons why Krishna stopped the sacrifice of Indra. The first one was Indra was becoming a little bit proud. This is the tendency if one thinks, when one does something, and one thinks, yes, I have done this by my power. When there is false ego, pride must come. So therefore, we should be very careful of pride. So Krishna very kindly wanted to remove the pride of Indra. That's the first reason. And later on, Indra will say, Krishna, you're such a nice teacher. You're such an expert teacher. That you've done this in such a way that you didn't tell me you're a demigod and your power is dependent on me. You made me come to the realization just by myself, by your lifting the hill. It took me 7 days, a little bit slow maybe, but gradually I could understand that I'm actually insignificant and you're the all-powerful Lord. So later he'll glorify Krishna as being the best of teachers because he allows one to, the realization to give birth in one's heart. And then when someone tells us, you're this, we tend to push it away. But when we realize it ourselves, then it's ours for the rest of our life. Although Indra, later on, he got into trouble again. With the Parijata, when Krishna wanted the Parijata tree, Indra said no. And Krishna said yes. And Indra said no. And Indra said, oh, really? We'll see. And then they fought. And who do you think won? Who do you think won? Did Krishna win or did Indra win? Yes. So that's the first reason. The second reason we already spoke about. Krishna wanted to have a pastime with all the Brijbasis, all together. He wanted them to bring them together because he loves his devotees. And the third reason, do you know what the third reason is? He wanted to give us an opportunity to observe Govardhan Puja every year. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki! Bolo Giriraj Dharan ki! Very, very, very good. I know you're all well trained in this art. A few years ago, I think I mentioned this last time, when I visited, I was staying, when the devotees on the Vrindavan Parikrama, the Yatra, they were at Fogel Ashram. How many years ago? Two, three years ago. And I was staying right behind the MVT, which means right behind Krishna Balaram Mandir, which is quite far from Fogel Ashram. And I was inside my house, and the door was open, and suddenly I hear, Jai Jai Shri Radhe! And I was thinking, where is that sound coming from? It sounds like thousands of people. But it sounds like it's coming from a great distance, but yet it's so loud. And then I understood it was all of you. And Ranath Maharaj had raised his hands and said, Jai Jai Shri Radhe! Jai Jai Shri Radhe! Jai Jai Shri Radhe! Now, how could anyone not be smiling at this moment? So, Mother Yasoda was in anxiety. And she began to pray. And who did she pray to? She prayed to Giriraj. Please be compassionate. Oh, Giriraj. Please be compassionate and give me one boon, one wish. If you are actually some worshipable God, and we have seen just before when we performed the Govardhan Puja, that you turned into a great form. If you are actually a worshipable God, then please do something and make yourself very soft and very lightweight so that my Krishna will not feel any distress. Oh, Honorable One, please, please protect my Krishna. His actions are always in accordance with the instructions of Shastra and saintly persons. Maru Mangal said, Mother, do not speak like this. How can you say that Krishna is in distress? Listen, what good has that angry Indra done for us? He brutally attacked us with his dense dark clouds and his fierce lightning bolts. Now, just appreciate the sweetness that Krishna is manifesting in this pastime just by his lifting Giriraj Govardhan. Had Indra not become angry, then we would not have the chance to relish this nectar through our eyes. Mother Yasoda replied to Bhatu, "Oh, bold one, holding a heavy load over the head can never be a show of sweetness. She will not move from her Vatsalya Bhav, because that is the nature of a mother, always just worrying and worrying about her son and the daughter. Parents are like that. Once you have children, your whole life you'll be in anxiety about them." Really. They may be 40 years old, 50 years old, but you'll be in anxiety about them. So the perfection of that is Yasoda Mata. This is the perfection in Nanda Baba. Lifting the enormous weight of Giriraj will cause one not sweetness, but distress. It will cause him, he'll become disabled. His left arm will be hurt from this. Just see the locks of curly hair on Krishna's forehead are wet from perspiration. His face has dried out and has become pale like a lotus wilted by the snow. His hands and feet from holding Giriraj are reddish in color. How can a mother's heart tolerate seeing his hardship? This is the nature of Braja. The cowherd boys every morning are happy. "Come, Krishna, let's go out and take the cows. Come on. And Mother Yasoda, do you think she's happy? Do you think Nanda Baba is happy? "Yes, go out and herd the cows and have some fun." No, they're crying. And then when they're coming back from Vrindavan, when they enter the forest of Vrindavan, all the trees and the deer and all the birds and monkeys become jubilant. And when Krishna's heading back home, it's their time to cry. And all the deer come to the edge of the forest, and all the animals come to the edge of the forest of Vrindavan, and just wait till the next morning when Krishna will come out again with the cows. And then all the residents of Vrindavan town, Krishna's coming, then they become so jubilant and happy, and the cowherd boys have to go to their own houses, and it's their time to be sad. This is the waves of different varieties of ecstasy that Krishna rolls through the town of Vrindavan continuously, never endingly. And it is based all on the Stai Bhava, on the actual steady ecstasy of love for Krishna. And if that's not there, so many people are coming and going, and we don't care. But when love, the Stai Bhav for Krishna, enters the heart, then rasa can be generated. Then the sweet, mellow varieties of ecstasies come. So how, Mother Yasoda said in her ecstasy, how can a mother tolerate seeing such hardship? And Krishna then replied to his mother, "Mother, there cannot be anything more fun than this. Why are you worried about me for nothing? Just see, the great mountain of Govardhan is floating on its own through the open air. I told you before, this body of mine is just an instrument of the will of Giriraj Govardhan. He's lightweight. He's floating by his own power. I'm not holding him up." Yasoda replied, "My dear son, that may be true, but how could you not be tired after standing here for so long and holding that mountain with your raised arm? Oh, intelligent one,
I will believe what you say, that Giriraj is just floating by his own power, if Giriraj gives up the joyful association with your lotus arm and flies around in the sky on his own. Then I'll believe you.
Batu said, O Queen of Vrindavan, don't you know that this great mountain is sitting on the lotus hand of Krishna by the strength of my mantras and my special power? Therefore, my friend is not feeling any pain from holding Giriraj, and this is natural because everyone is favorably disposed toward the Lord in his heart. Yasoda said, O impudent Batu, what kind of nonsense are you speaking? I'm burning in anxiety over my son. His tendency is to act naughty and independent, and he doesn't care for any good instructions. And now you come here, and you make jokes, and you are laughing about it. Then Nanda Maharaj, why are you scolding Batu? In this world, a person who is expert in diplomacy will use very affectionate words to encourage one in such a trying situation. So understanding the need of the time, Batu is speaking very sweetly and appropriately. Beside that, our dear son is smiling so sweetly because he appreciates the words of Batu. Krishna is actually looking at the gopis. Meanwhile, the rest of the Brijbasis stood around Giridhari. Who is Giridhari? Krishna. Admiring the sweetness of his gorgeous transcendental form. And due to their affection for Krishna, the sinless Brijbasis went against ordinary etiquette and they talked loudly amongst themselves about the beauty of Krishna. So then Kaviraj Maharaj, Kavi Kanipur, he describes what the Brijbasi, describing the beauty of Krishna. But then someone said, oh, look at Krishna. While holding Giriraj in his hand so effortlessly, he's holding a flute in his other hand. And he's taking his flute. Which hand is he using for his flute? If he's holding up Giriraj in his left hand, which hand is he using to play his flute? Yes, that is right. So he picked up his flute, and while holding up the hill, he began to play the flute so sweetly. And everyone became ecstatic by the sweet flute playing of Krishna. But Batu became filled with anxiety. Oh, my friend, oh Krishna, don't be so daring in this way. Don't play your flute. How will you protect your friends if Giriraj hears your flute and becomes ecstatic? And in his ecstasy, what happens if he falls off your hand? Your flute has the power to destroy everything. Simply hearing it, mountains melt and rivers turn into stone. Aspandanam gatimatam pulakaturunam. Oh, look. Your flute can do amazing things. The cowherd bed said, oh, but boys, they said, oh, Batu, may this mountain maintain his patience and keep protecting us from the great rainfall of Indra. Because while all this is going on, the rain is pouring and pouring down. What will happen if Giriraj melts into a river in his ecstasy? Because the solid things turn liquid and liquid things turn solid. So then Giriraj, if he turns into a river of stone, he'll become the source of our destruction. But that will not happen. A person with great patience, they're saying, We should all pray that Giriraj maintains his patience and his gravity. Because sometimes a person who is very deep, he may feel very ecstatic, but he quickly will recover his composure. Therefore, there is not the slightest fear that Giriraj may change his position or melt. So don't worry about this, Bhatu. Just relish the nectar of the honey of Krishna's flute. Give up your restlessness. Another person said, just see the foolishness of Indra. Even though he's supposed to be the well-wisher of all, he has showed anger to innocent Krishna within his heart. He has some enmity, anger. He is not the well-wisher of Krishna. This is the most inconceivable thing to an exalted person. The Brijbasis. Prabhupada sometimes would show some incredible optimism that everyone, after a few years, just by hearing the pastimes of Krishna, by hearing the holy names of Krishna, by reading Krishna's pastimes in the Krishna book, the whole world will become Krishna conscious. Such optimism, because it's inconceivable how anyone could fail to be attracted to beautiful Krishna. What to speak of having enmity to Krishna? Inconceivable. Indra, O lifter of Giriraj, Indra tries to destroy our dynasty with his lightning bolts, whereas Krishna does well only for the whole world. Indra merely guards the eastern direction, while Krishna protects all the directions. Why has Hari, which is also a name for Indra, Kavi Kanapura said, become so shameless by assuming the same name as our Lord Hari? Although we are in the middle of a great devastation, we are delighting in a conversation full of joking and laughter, and while relishing these nectarian talks, we feel no anxiety or disturbance. And then one Brijbasi said to Srimati Radharani, O Radhika, your face is superbly beautiful. Do not make your eyebrows dance. Don't move your eyebrows while Krishna is holding up Govardhan. Because if you move your eyebrows, Krishna's mind will become disturbed. Then his arm will start shaking violently, and this mountain will fall from his hands. Please do not cause such a dangerous situation. This was Shamala Sakhi who said this. So Radhika joked with her. She glanced shyly from the corner of her eye, and Srimati Radharani said, Oh Shamala Sakhi, whose eyes are just like the eyes of a doe, a female deer. Do not place the ecstasy that you have in your heart in my heart. You should be the one who calms down and controls your mind. So in this way, there were so many different sweet exchanges going on between the devotees, between the Brijbasis, between Krishna. And finally, oh, there's so much more, but how long?
So many wonderful pastimes took place. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says there's old pictures that you sometimes see. When you see that Krishna is holding his hand up, Mother Yasoda and Rohini Mata, they're putting butter in Krishna's hand, right hand. And he says, yes, Sanatana Goswami has confirmed that this is true. That the gopis were trying to feed Krishna all the time. And indeed, Mother Yasoda wanted Krishna to take some tambul. But she wouldn't give it to him directly because she was afraid that Krishna would not accept it from her. So she told Subal to give it to him. So we'll just read that little part over here. So Subal took the tambul in his hand from Mother Yasoda, and he felt great ecstasy himself when he held it in his hand. Then with his other hand, he took Krishna's flute. From which hand was Krishna holding his flute? Yes, his right hand. So he took Krishna's flute from his right hand, and taking the edge of his own dhoti, his cloth, he cleaned Krishna's hand and his mouth as he was holding the hill. And then he placed the tambul as he was, because Krishna's face had drops of perspiration on it, which were like pearls. And then he placed the tambul in Krishna's lotus mouth. And Krishna's lips turned what color? Reddish. And Yasoda smiled in happiness. And outside the umbrella of Giriraj, huge cloud formations sent by furious Indra poured down furious rain, and it was washing Giriraj. And lightning bolts were hitting Giriraj again and again and again. But Giriraj felt so much ecstasy being touched by the hand of Krishna that he did not feel one tiny bit of distress. But Indra continued to attack Giriraj again and again. Being blinded by anger, he lost all his intelligence. And in fact, he went blind himself. And in this way, for 7 days, torrents and torrents of rain attacked Vrindavan. So for Indra, those 7 days felt like Yugayitam Nameshena Chakshusha Spayishai. It felt like millenniums, yugas and yugas and yugas. But for the Brijbasis, those 7 days felt like 7 hours. Although Govardhan Hill is immovable, it simply rested on the hand of Krishna. So for 7 days, the monsoon rains and earth-shaking winds tortured the people of the world suffering and gave them untold miseries. But Giriraj was not the slightest bit disturbed, because not only was he being touched by the lotus hand of Krishna, but within his nostrils, his nose, was coming the fragrance of Krishna's body. So he looked beautiful and radiant, effulgent throughout the whole idea, the whole time. Then Indra finally came to his senses. He stopped the rains. When Krishna saw this, he told all the residents of Vrindavan, now you can go out. Krishna was holding the hill. There was a great valley underneath the hill. Because before Krishna could put down the hill again, of course everyone had to go out. So first, all the cowherd men said, okay, they started to drive the cows out. And all the cows Just like if you poured water, so much water upon a round bowl, all there would be streams of water coming everywhere. So there were streams of cows that flowed out from underneath Govardhan Hill. And all the Brijvasis started leaving, and the cows left, and then the cows turned around, and they saw that Gopinath was still under the hill. So they turned around and ran back under the hill. And then Krishna, just with movements of his eyes, he told them, "No, you go." And you know what the cow said? "Moo." And then they went. And Krishna put down the hill exactly as it was before. And all the Brijvasis, they were so happy having been with Krishna for that time. They began to massage. They're thinking his hand must be so tired. They were embracing him. They were blessing him. And therefore, Krishna's name after that became Giridhari. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki. Giriraj Maharaj ki. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri Radhe.